Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 140 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap this week's nerd news. We're going to begin in entertainment with some new Amazon Prime shows, the latest news around the Snyderverse, Black Widow, and other movies moving to Disney+, and then some Xbox Live news. Then we'll move over into tech, where we've got a potential buyout of Discord, some UFOs, and anti-hacking. Lots to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and we're here with episode 140. And let's jump right into some news and really, I guess some updates to some interesting shows that have come out. We got some movies hitting the theaters. You were able to get out, actually write a review again. It seems like maybe getting back to normal.
Yeah, it was nice to get out there. Theaters are still doing the same thing as they did before. It's still pre-order your food, touchless everything. They're doing a really good job keeping the seats spaced out. I encourage people to go out and support the movie theaters. They really need your help. there are certain movies out that aren't on streaming services, so you can still take advantage of the ones that get you out of the house. And that's what I did. I went and saw Nobody with Bob Odenkirk, and I really enjoyed it. I really actually did. It was a good John Wick-esque movie. You could definitely tell they parodied John Wick, but it wasn't like a Naked Gun parody. It was enough to be silly, but enough to keep, like, not enough to make it seem like it wasn't a serious movie. Like, they were actually trying to make this like version of John Wick, but it just came off a little funnier, was a lot more gorier. Like, John Wick just pops people and you don't see big blood spatters and stuff like that. It's just kind of pop, 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 bodies are dropping left and right. Like, nah, Odenkirk fucks people up. Odenkirk tapped into his inner Jason Statham for this role and just fucked people up, man. It was good. I enjoyed it. Christopher Lloyd was great in it. Christopher Lloyd plays dude's dad, and
oh really?
Yeah, and he just plays this old timer in an old senior citizen's home, and just, yeah, he's a really fun character. It was really good. I encourage everyone to see it. If you don't go to the theater and see it, at least when it comes out on a streaming service or HBO or something, it's definitely worth a watch, especially if you're a big action fan and you like the John Wicks. It's a very entertaining movie.
Yeah, sounds entertaining. I don't think I saw a trailer. I don't think I heard anything about this movie. All of a sudden, I saw your review post for it over at the website, and I thought, okay, all right. I wasn't on my radar, which I guess is why you write these reviews.
It was actually the number one movie this weekend at $6 million opening.
I was going to say, that doesn't mean anything.
It had a $6 million opening and was the number one movie this weekend.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
It's so laughably bad for the theaters. that's tough. But real fast, you made a mention of John Wick. Let's make sure everybody knows.
Let's drop this.
we're still in this take a knee for Marvel vs. DC character madness contest that they're doing, and three of the eight picks that are still alive in the lead eight, the lead eight voting, I think, is closed out now. The results will come out today. But we were at three of eight, still Nerd Cantina representing strong.
Damn right. Damn right.
So Ellen Ripley went up against John Wick, and I didn't see the numbers on the poll. It was really close.
The Twitter poll was close, but he does take other forms of voting. So I think Wick had her on the Twitter at like 63% or something, but it wasn't no blowout. It wasn't a blowout, yeah. And we'll see where the final tallies end. I think Vegeta has it. Dean and Ellen are going to be their close ones.
Yeah, so I'm really curious that we've got Ellen Ripley against John Wick. Yeah, it was that one was going to be a tough one. Yeah, Vegeta going
retweeted the polls on both my personal and the Nerdcantina Twitter, and I just used every Women's History Month hashtag I possibly could. So it's just vote Ellen Ripley. Hashtag Women's History Month. Hashtag Women Supporting Women. Hashtag I reached out to Feminism Twitter to help us win this one over John Wick.
Oh, hopefully it panned out. Otherwise, I'm disappointed in women.
I know, like,
across the world. Yeah, and then yeah, Dean going up against Michael Scott. I know I do love me some Michael Scott, and I can't be mad if he beats out Dean. But
too many one seeds, though. Like, where are the upsets, folks? Like, we can't have Michael Scott, Vegeta, and Wick all in the final four at one seeds. Like,
yeah, and Superman was still in. Was yeah, Superman number
Superman
one?
Superman is one, and Captain America is two. So we could have four one seeds in the final four. Like, come on, folks.
Yeah,
do better.
Nobody has creative thought here. Ultimately, let's see the results will come out. We'll keep everybody informed over at the Nerdcantina Facebook group on how many of our picks are left. We're still just trying to get some bragging rights over those guys at Take a Knee.
I got my fingers crossed, man. We might have half the final four. It might be great.
Well, I guess we can.
Secondly, we watched this weekend the new animated show on Amazon Prime that is based off of Robert Kirkman's comic, The Invincible, Invincible. It was a favorite of one of my closest friends. He brought it to me, 15 years ago, long time ago. He brought me the Invincible comics. I read them all. They were really great. And Amazon Prime put out this animated show, and it stays really true to the source material. It's good animation. The first episode, it comes off as this nice, fun, Justice League-esque, you know, animated show. And when it gets into the actual source material, boy, like, you're in for a shocker. Like, it's it really, you think it's gonna be for all ages, and like, no, like, they made it for grown folks. Like, it's a grown folks cartoon. So I highly encourage everybody to go watch this one. I'm gonna write a written review on it after I catch up. I have one more episode to watch. They posted three. I watched the first two, so I'll watch the third. Maybe by the time the fourth comes out, I'll have the review written, and I'm gonna try to get all you guys to watch the show, because it needs the support. It's by the same guy that did The Walking Dead, in case you don't know who Kirkman is. So with the success of that, you can imagine what this property does. A lot of good voice actors in it, like a lot of familiar voices. I want to say Seth Rogen, Rafi from the League again. I don't know dude's name, but he's definitely in it. I should actually pull it up, because there was a lot of like famous voices in that I recognize. I want to say Ron Funches.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So far, I mean, don't get me wrong, the only real place I exist in social media is inside our Nerd Cantina Facebook groups. But so far, anybody who's talked about it in there has said that it's phenomenal. And that's a bit of a biased audience, that's the target audience, right? but I imagine if you're listening to this, you're also the target audience. You will probably enjoy Invincible. And might as well.
Yeah, it was really enjoyable. First episode was great, and I think by the end of the first episode, you're gonna be hooked.
I was trying to pull up the cast, but I'm moving a little. Oh, there's the cast. We got Sandra Oh in it.
Yeah,
Stephen Wynn, you know, from The Walking Dead. Let's see. Mark Hamill gives a voice in there. Mark Hamill, Seth Rogen, like you said. Yeah, there's definitely. I mean, there's some people in there. Nicole Byer. Anybody
like you just
nailed
the whole,
it on Netflix.
the whole time that you're watching it, you just like, I know that voice. Like, yeah. You're just trying to picture the face with it.
Oh, and I know you love some John Hamm. You got John Hamm in there.
Yes, sir.
Mahershala Ali is a voice in there for a couple episodes, it seems. Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot of
they pulled a lot of support in for this for voice acting. I mean, I guess when you're filming an animated show during COVID, it ain't hard to get a bunch of motherfuckers to do some voice acting. hand models and voice actors were still doing great. Just take some pictures at home.
But yeah, no, it looks good. I'm going to dive into it hopefully this week. I've yet to find time to start it, but I'll get caught up in the three episodes and start watching it weekly. But I guess we can move on to other entertainment.
To DC being DC.
Yeah. So this article, and it's not just, you know, just this article. It's pretty well known, but it came out with WB confirming, the head of WB confirming that the Snyderverse is done. This Snyder cut, regardless of its popularity and how well it's done for HBO Max, there is no intent to build off of this and continue going. So no, it's not a thing. None of these movies that, like we talked about last week, like we talked about before even it came out, you know, best case scenario was this was a good movie. That's meaningless. That plays into nothing. And you know, the actual Snyder cut, I think even stung even worse because of like the epilogue and how much time they spent like dedicating towards like, oh, here's all the other actors and characters we had lined up and here's all the other things. It stung even worse, and it fooled still people who just were too hopeful, thinking like, oh, well, maybe all this is going to happen. I want my nightmare movie. And I want,
well, the best they could hope for really is that this is just like lawyer positioning, because they know now Zack Snyder's got him by the balls and they want to try to sign him to a $20 million contract, not a 40. You know, so it's like, ah, yeah, no, we don't care. The one that hurts is that, so I understand not expanding the Snyderverse. Like that's got a lot of working pieces, and to try to get everybody back after you burn those bridges might be a real big pain in the ass. But to not do the Ayer cut of Suicide Squad, like if you have a chance to pull these trash heaps out of the dumpster fire, like why not do it? Especially if, I mean, it got your cheap ass to subscribe to HBO Max again. Like, if
you're not wrong. I don't think I would pay money for the Ayer cut of Justice League, or I mean, not Justice League, Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad barely drew me in the first place to even give it a try. It was garbage, and I don't even know how you're redeeming it.
Well, that, like Leto's always said, they cut like 10 minutes of his performance out of that movie that made his part even better. Like there's a lot of saying that they chopped the shit out of that movie, and that's why it was so bad. That if you left in a lot of what got hit that editing room floor, that it was a better movie. And I'm not saying it would be a good movie, but yeah. But if you were willing to spend $70 million to make Justice League a better movie, not a good movie, why not do the same with Suicide Squad? Especially after nobody's mad that the Snyder Cut came out. Even like me, who didn't really think it was that good, like I'm not mad they did it. I don't think it was a waste of time.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't care personally about the Ayer Cut. Sure, release some deleted scenes of Jared Leto being Joker and getting a little more information about, you know, the story that could have been for him. But to redo the entire movie, for them to commit any kind of millions of dollars of recuts and CGI and
whatever else. Well, I don't think you would have to spend that much money, because it's not like
CGI budget wouldn't be required like you needed.
And all you're doing is putting pieces back in. You're not doing reshoots and shit like they had to do for Snyder. You know, like,
yeah,
like they're just going to take the movie that the original long form of the movie and put it, you know, they just have to like remaster it. You do it for cheap as hell. So I don't understand why they're so against it. And now because of the Snyder Cut, do you see all these articles coming out with like, you know, Russo Brothers set to release 6-hour Endgame cut, you know, fucking Peter Jackson set to release eight hour Lord of the Rings Fellowship cut. Like,
I mean,
y'all like long movies?
I guess it would actually be fine. You know what I mean? Especially if they went into these things up front, knowing that like, hey, you're going to make a theatrical release, but we're also going to allow you on our streaming service to release your special uncut version or whatever else. Then directors probably could plan for it appropriately. And yeah, like you could probably very easily turn Endgame, you know, it was already, what, a three-hour movie? I guarantee there's 6 hours of footage. You know what I mean? I guarantee that they have it.
Oh, for sure.
And they can make it a six-hour movie.
Oh, for sure. Maybe I can enjoy the Hulk again if they give me the 6 hours. Maybe
maybe somewhere in those 6 hours he actually Hulks out.
He actually
maybe at some point he turns into the Hulk. He
actually smashes something. But no, I'm. What's it hurt? You know what I mean? Like if fans want it, that's what I just don't understand. Is like if fans want it, give it to them. That you want their money, right? Like you want their money, right?
Yeah, and it's you own your own streaming service. You could just put whatever you want on there. Like if you want to give the directors the ability to cut it up, and it only benefits you.
Yeah.
It only brings people back to your service to rewatch something that they have already watched, but in a different format. Why not? So I do think there's probably going to be more of this that takes place. I don't see why they would do the air cut, especially when it's like they probably want to move away from that trash heap because they're trying to get everybody to focus on James Gunn's upcoming one, and which actually looks entertaining. Like I'm excited to actually see James Gunn's version of it. You know, it definitely has way more of a Marvel feel to it. Just like it's more of like feels like the Marvel team up movie of being pretty,
yeah, everyone says the comedy feels, and everything feels else. Pretty it's Guardians just, feels pretty Guardians
it
in here.
Does and like but I'm that sounds good to me, right? That's like an R-rated Guardians with a bunch of shitty character, you know, shitty human beings as the characters from the Suicide Squad.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that.
I'm gonna watch it, that's for sure.
But I don't know, I guess we can move on to some other movie news and streaming news as we keep going with the big news this week in Disney Plus is that Black Widow finally announced to have a release date, and it will simultaneously release on Disney Plus Premium, the one where you got to pay whatever $19.99 to be able to watch the movie as many times as you want.
It's $30.
$29.99. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that's the direction that they've gone. I guess my big thing is why'd you wait so long then?
This movie, oh my God. Like, I feel so bad for this movie. The COVID has just wrecked shop on Black Widow. Like, and they weren't going to do it on the streaming service the same day. And now you're taking away the incentive for movie theaters. Because I wanted this to release because I've seen every Marvel movie in the theater. I'm not going to watch this at home. Like, I'm not. You know, yeah. And I thought maybe a lot of other people would have the same kind of thought. You know, like, Marvel movies are meant for the theater. I'm not supposed to watch this at home. Like, let's go to the theater. So the fact that they put it out on Disney Plus, really, I'm hoping people still have that thought process and start not go watch it on Disney Plus. Like that Raya, The Last Dragon came out on Disney Plus. If it was $19.99, I might have bought it so my daughter could watch it. And then you get to keep it until it hits streaming. So it's not like you just get to watch it once and then after 24 hours it goes away. Like, you pay the $30, it's on your streaming service for good now. And you can watch it as many times as you want. So yep. I get the value. I just couldn't pull the trigger on $30. Like, 20, you'd have had me. 30 is just a little too much, especially when it says available to everybody June 2nd. And it's like,
I could just wait.
I could just wait. It's like, I don't know if I need to rush to this one. You know, so I really hope that Black Widow gets people to go to the theaters. And you know, I want to see this movie succeed. I want to see the theater succeed. I was really disappointed when Disney announced that they were going to release this on the streaming service the same day. But here we are, man. This is the world we live in now.
Yeah, I mean, you got to hope. Yeah, I mean, I guess you got to cross your fingers and hope on July 9th, when it hits the theaters and Disney Plus, that there's plenty of people who feel comfortable with going to theaters at that point in time, that hopefully the world is continuing to improve, I guess. I don't know. You know, who the hell knows where we're really going to be. But July 9th is still a good distance away.
Yeah, it's far. It was supposed to come out in May.
I mean, of 2020, but
well,
yeah.
Well, this May, too. It was like, I on my app, it said May, and then they pushed it back again. You know, yeah, like, get to the theaters, folks. I'm super pumped. By the time this episode airs, the day this episode airs, Kong vs. Godzilla will be out, and I will be in the theater watching that movie. I got IMAX. I wanted Dolby for the sound effects, but couldn't get in Dolby. I will take the IMAX. There's no way I'm watching Kong vs. Godzilla at home. Even though I have a big TV, it's still not the same. Like, yeah. It's not the same. So I'm super pumped. Like, go to the theaters, folks. Like, support these people. They need it. You DoorDashed your favorite restaurant with shitty service, and like we've been trying to keep our a lot of these industries alive. For some reason, I just don't know why everybody just doesn't care if like this major medium just dies off in the middle of fucking a pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, we still see, I guess, you know, more release dates. Cruella is going to release in May. And I don't know. I guess some people are going to maybe go see it. I think
I'll see it.
That was also going to release at and Disney Plus at the same time. And then they gave the updated dates now for like that Ryan Reynolds movie, Free Guy, is going to be August 13th.
Shang-Chi. Did you see his announcement to push it back?
No.
Ryan Reynolds tweeted the announcement when they pushed his movie back again. It was pretty fucking funny. It was a great reply. I suggest everybody goes to his Twitter or Instagram to see his reaction to Free Guy getting postponed again.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up. Shang-Chi and Legend of Ten Rings gets pushed back to September 3rd, 2021. The Kingsman is now, you know, a Christmas movie in December 22nd. And then, yeah, some other movies like Deepwater and Death on the Nile getting pushed back to 2022. So movie slates continue to be fairly fluid and changing regularly, although hopefully this is the last major changes for, like, Black Widow. You got to think MCU just has to move forward. They have to just start releasing their movies.
There's so many. Like, another movie I thought of the other day, A Quiet Place was on TV, and I was like, man, A Quiet Place 2 was supposed to come out the week of the shutdown. Nobody's even talking about releasing that movie. And that was one I was really looking forward to seeing. Like, I love the first A Quiet Place. I was really looking forward to the second one, and nobody is talking about releasing that movie. And it's done. It's been done. It was supposed to come out. It was supposed to come out in March of last year. Like,
yeah, that's true. No, I have not heard a single word about that movie.
And then made me think of like how many movies are just like on the back burner that nobody knows about that are, you know, like that just are dying in a room somewhere waiting to get released.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I guess let's move out of some movie talk here. Let's quickly talk about just some video game news. We've got Xbox Live rebranding their name here. Okay.
I don't know why it matters necessarily, but Xbox Live has been like a household name for a long time. Like, I don't understand why you give that up, like, for Xbox Network. I think it's to have more inclusion with the PC group. Like, 2021's all about inclusion, and we don't want these elite fucking PC butthurt motherfuckers to feel like the consoles are letting them out, because we know how much they love to tell us that they care more about video games because of the rig they built. So I'm assuming this is about them reaching out to that kind of crowd. But like, Xbox Live has been a household name for two decades, you know. Like, I just don't see what if it's a net positive.
I mean, I think it's also then they're shifting people's, you know, mindset in the sense that they're now getting away from Xbox Live being required. You know, Xbox Live is essentially required to do anything in the internet with your games, and they're getting rid of that kind of firm requirement to the point that, you know, you can play Fortnite, you can play Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, your Warzone, right? You can play Warzone. You can play those games now without Xbox Live. Whereas, you know, even though they were free to play games, you still had to have Xbox Live to go play with people online. They're getting rid of those requirements, so the free to play games are free to play, free to network, because, you know, that builds into their business model. It's not about your Xbox Live subscription. It's about the microtransactions that you pay in those games, the skins you buy, and all that other stuff. So they're increasing how many people have access to those games. through Xbox Network instead of Xbox Live. Same thing with like the upcoming like Halo Infinite multiplayer will be kind of that Battle Royale style Halo, which great. I would probably play it if I turned on my Xbox ever. But yeah, also you won't need that Xbox Live subscription. So I think it's, you know, maybe they're rebranding it also because they're trying to change the direction that they've of what they've been doing with it over the years.
Yeah, you could do all that without changing the name. I just don't understand. Like, Xbox Live has the name recognition. Everybody, and that's the thing, is everybody has always loved Xbox Live. Like, throughout the years, that's the one thing that they always had going for them, is that people bought Xboxes over PlayStations because of Xbox Live and how good that community worked and how well the online play was with an Xbox over a PlayStation for so long. So I just don't see a big benefit in dropping that kind of history that's associated with the name.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, why marketers make these decisions. Somewhere they had a room of a bunch of gamers and a bunch of people who weren't gamers, I'm sure, and asked the questions like, hey, which one do you prefer? which one's going to get you more involved? And this is what they came up with. So we can move on here to I guess some tech news. For gamers, this still hits home. This next article talking about Microsoft is now in some exclusive conversations to purchase Discord for $10 billion. And, you know, again, the gamers, especially those PC gamers and everybody else, Discord being a close hit to home. And, you know, that's a big price tag there for Microsoft. Probably it's a good decision if they can get it.
Yeah, that's a macro transaction. Like, that's a lot of money. I'm assuming this has to do with like the fact that they, you know, they tried to do Mixer over Twitch and didn't work out so well.
Yeah.
You know, like they tried to do the Zune over the iPod, didn't work out so well. Like, they're not really good at doing this on their own. So buy the best one, I guess. Like, it makes sense to me. Works for every huge other tech company that just, hey, you're our competition, or you got a good plugin that works well with our system, we'll buy you for a bunch of money.
Yeah, and Discord's obviously been around for a really long time. It used to be quite a bit more complicated to use and to kind of put together your Discord groups, whatever else. And nowadays it's pretty user friendly. Anybody could just pick up the app and join a Discord channel or whatever else. And
yeah, we have a Nerd Cantina Discord channel. I think I missed the boat on this though. I think I will throw down my oldness and just admit defeat. I just can't functionally use it. I think if a lot of it is your gaming system. So even if a lot of people that game with consoles do it from like a desk with a computer monitor and shit like that, with like a nice 4K computer monitor. If you're gaming on PC, like I have dual monitors, I could see like playing WoW on one screen and having Discord on the other screen, because then you could see chat and stuff. But I'm old school and I play on my giant TV. I don't know. I can't do both. You know, like I'm too old. I can't have Discord on my laptop next to me while I'm gaming. Like, it's just too much. So I miss out.
Yeah, I also think there's probably, Microsoft might be looking into more than just the gaming aspect of Discord. While it has always been popular with gaming communities, it is just a place that you can create your own communities, your own different chats, and you can have your own sub communities and subtopics within your community. And quick access to, you know, voice calls, video calls. And it's very similar. I look at the direction that some of these other apps are coming out, like Telegram and Clubhouse on Apple and all these things, all these kind of community-based ways of having people connect. Discord's already pretty well established. It already has kind of the infrastructure to do it. They could very easily kind of pivot this into just another community-based app and communication software.
Yeah, I don't see... I definitely understand why they're doing it. And I think $10 billion is probably a decent valuation considering what like Instagram sold for and some of these other services sold for. So I definitely see like the whole thought process behind it, and hopefully they just don't ruin it. Microsoft has a kind of history of touching it with the fail hand and just ruining things. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see more. There were other companies like Epic Games was actually in the talks as well to purchase it, but you know, Epic Games doesn't have Microsoft money.
Nope.
So we'll see what happens here.
Nope.
All right, and then I guess we move on to another kind of interesting topic regarding Google, and you know, they've got a fair amount of tools to detect, you know, various security issues and cyber crime issues throughout their networks. And Google recently, you know, they've shut down what was a very large expert level cyber attacks that they've shut down. And that expert level cyber attack was actually a U.S. ally counterterrorism operation seeking to hack and spy on known terrorist organizations. Google, the team over at Google's, I think it's Google's Zero team, which is looking for like zero-day exploits and massive exploits that can be used on the internet. They don't care, right? So they don't care. They don't care if you're trying to do good with your hacking. They didn't care. They just shut it down. They knew who they were shutting down. They publicized it and put it on their blog that they shut down the government from doing these things. And it calls into the question the role that these companies have. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? You know, when they're intentionally weakening the, you know, Western nations' abilities to spy and to penetrate and to affect known criminal organizations and enterprises. I don't know.
Yeah, this is really weird. Debate. Yeah, this is because it'd be one thing if our country didn't have a history of doing shady shit to its own citizens. You know, if we didn't have people like Snowden just blow the lid off of all the disgusting shit this government would do if we just let them do whatever they want, I would be more against this, I guess. But knowing how shitty that the government does act, I am not against this. I also want our country to be able to protect ourselves. So I don't know where to fall on this.
Yeah, I guess it really comes down to I would need more kind of technical explanation on what was, you know, what was the problem. In the end, they've been shut down. There's been talk of various, you know, government counter intelligence gathering services that have had their kind of hacking operations impacted or shut down or whatever else. But generally speaking, it's never publicized. Like, they don't put it on the blog.
Yeah.
They don't go out and tell everybody what happened. It just happens. That it seems more reasonable to me. And especially, you know, this Project Zero is really, that's Google's team looking for, you know, these, you know, the Microsoft OWA hack or the exploit, that zero day exploit that had happened a couple weeks ago that had, you know, huge wide ranging problems. They're looking for things like that. So yes, if the government's benefiting from some things like that, great, I guess. Like, you know what I mean? Go gather intelligence on terrorist organizations, stuff like that. But that doesn't mean that they shouldn't fix that problem, right? Like they shouldn't leave that open for other people to exploit. So I'm actually fine if they identified a zero-day vulnerability. So like Google's put on there that the hacking group, meaning the government-backed hacking group, exploited 11 zero-day vulnerabilities in the last 9 months with a high number of exploits in such a short period of time. So it's like, obviously, this government counterintelligence group is hitting hard and finding these exploits. And at the same point in time, you know, should Google just, now they know that these zero-day vulnerabilities exist, it's not unique to just this counterintelligence, you know, group. It's not like, just unique to the terrorists. Like, no, they probably need to go protect everybody else then.
Yeah, it's it's funny because, like, you know, the government's like, oh, we found this back door. Like, cool. Like, we're going to use this back door. And Google's like, well, then everybody can use the back door. Like, no, we need to shut this door. And they're like, ah, no, don't shut the door. Like, and they're just like, yeah, like, that's our job. Like, we shut these doors. Like, how do we just leave it open? You know, because it's not like there's not an army of Chinese people that are willing, like, back door. You have back door.
I guess that's where I fall on this is I don't like them necessarily publicly coming out and explaining the tools that, you know, maybe counterintelligence agencies are using. Although sometimes it might be appropriate to do so. In these specific instances, I'm operating off the assumption that by not patching it, by not fixing it, and exploiting these things or identifying these things, that it leaves everyday people vulnerable, which means you should, like, absolutely go close that up. So if those assumptions are right, I have no problem with this.
Yeah, I will optimistically lean towards that. I'm not going to go down the pessimistic rabbit hole.
Well, and then I guess we move on to really the last topic of a little bit of nerd news here this week, and that's the former national intelligence official who was speaking on, I can't remember where it was, CNBC or CNN or something, and talked about how this next upcoming declassification of UFO information is going to be difficult to explain.
I love that. Like, yeah, no shit, motherfucker, because if y'all been hiding aliens, it's going to be really difficult to explain why the fuck you been hiding aliens.
Yeah, I haven't found a date yet on when technically all this stuff's supposed to declassify, right?
It was 180 days after they had, like, there's no specific date when it's going to, but they have to by 180 days after this last COVID bill passed. They have 180 days after the bill signed.
Yeah, and right now, I think it's expected to come out around June 1st. And that's obviously until, for some reason, you know, they push it back, which I hope they do push it back at least for a little while. Not because I don't want to see it, but because I want to see the conspiracy theorists just heads explode.
Oh, yeah.
When it's like, it was supposed to come out on June 1st. Now they're saying it's July 1st. What are they hiding from us? What do they need more time to burn?
This is like, yeah, this is going to be great. Like, I really cannot wait to see what is in these files, like the reaction from everybody. The, like, I might go down like the sketchiest YouTube rabbit hole the week of the release just to bask in it, you know.
And like specifically what he told told the interviewer, it was on Fox News, and is that, like, well, you know, usually, like, when somebody reports a UFO sighting or when these UFO sightings happen, that he said it's almost never just a person's eyeballs that pick it up, that there's a myriad of satellites and other sensors and intelligence gathering sensors throughout that pick up these things. So it's not going to be just like, oh, well, here's that grainy photo or here's that one thing. It's going to be like, oh, no, here's that grainy photo. Oh, and here's satellite tracking. And here's other sensors that tracked it. He specifically stated with some of these things that are moving in ways that are hard to replicate or traveling at speeds that exceed the sound barrier, but they're not creating a sonic boom. And he's like, we have sensors that are tracking these things. So it's more than just the eyewitness account or the grainy photo. And it's going to be hard to explain.
Well, and people have lost faith in government for a while now, and like, this is not going to help it if this this shit comes out. Like,
I love the fact that he's saying, like, it's not just eyewitness counts, it's all these other, like, supporting sensors. And then you've got to be thinking, these poor eyewitnesses, right? these poor dudes.
There's just a handful of people in the nut hut.
And yeah, they've been for years just being told that they're absolute loons. They're completely nuts. And like, and here it is. It's just like, this whole damn time you could have supported me.
Bunch of people with sore buttholes going, I told you. I told you.
It's absolutely that dude from Independence Day.
100%. 100%. Like, It's your time to shine, man. It's your time to shine. Don't let them take you down. Don't let them tell you what you saw. You know what you saw. Yeah, this is going to be a good one. I'm really looking forward to not just the details, not just the details, but the complete utter shit show that will be the fallout from this. Like, it's going to be glorious.
Yeah. So let's see, June 1st. Let's see if it happens. All right. Well, this is a short one for us, but that's a week in news. That's what we've got. That's all the major topics that we have for you this week.
Yeah, we don't make the news. We just report it, folks. This is all we got. I will do a quick announcement for the Nerd Cantina group. We are going to do for the Star Wars holiday, May the 4th, a May the 4th painting night. So my girlfriend and our book reviewer, Megan McCarthy Bianc, did a paint night the other night, and they loved it. And they're like, how could we get Steve to do one of these things? Well, they found a Star Wars themed one, and it actually looks pretty fun. They had a great time doing it, so I'm going to see how many people from the cantina we can't get to sign up for this online class.
I'll zoom together.
It's a Zoom thing. Yeah, it's a Zoom thing. Like, you buy the supplies and you do it from your house. So let's all get some groups together. I think we're going to go over to Megan's and hang out at Megan's house, and I'll do one at their house. So you could either do it by yourself. You could throw a little paint party at your house and get all the nerds together. But I really want to try to get a whole shit ton of Cantina members to paint this Yoda painting, and let's all post our results, bro. Let's all share our abominations and see what this is. Like, I'm excited about this, to tell you the truth. I really am.
All right. I could get down. All I know is, it's normally a bunch of ladies drinking wine or whatever else. It can only be the Star Wars one. If you're making your own, like, neon-colored cantina replica drinks.
Oh, I'm going to get high as fuck. let's be real here. I'm going to get high as fuck. Usually every Star Wars holiday, like on Pineapple Express, they have the cross joint. If you go to my personal Instagram, you will see I know how to roll an X-Wing joint. So I will be smoking an X-Wing while I paint my Yoda painting. It'll be a thing to see, and I hope everybody joins us. I really hope everybody in the group signs up for this, because I want to see all the paintings. I want to have like a photo album in group of like 30 renditions of the same painting. Like, I think it'd be great. I'm really pumped for this.
And then we get one of like the actual legit artists in the group will probably do it, and then just put us all to shame.
Well, if enough people sign up for this one, you can ask them to do a custom night of whatever you want to paint. So, like, if enough people sign up for this and people enjoy it, 2 months from now, we'll do our own. It's like only the Nerd Cantina private one where we tell her what we want to paint. We'll pick another theme and we'll ride with it, bro. Like, I am down for this. Like, I am so down for this.
All right. Well, let's see if we can put this together. Let's put it out there. We got a month away.
So go to the nerdcantina.com/community, join the Facebook group if you haven't yet, and in the Facebook group, you will see the event created. Sign up for the event.
You already created it.
I already created the event. It's on there. The link to the class is on there. It's $15 for the class, and you know, if you have a bunch of people over, you get more than your money's worth, because we ain't paying four times to do it in one house, I'll tell you that. So throw a little party, pay $15, get everybody over, get some painting going. I think it's going to be a good time.
All right. Well, with all that said, join over at the group, get some updates on paint parties, movie reviews, whatever it happens to be, and vote for the character madness, because it's arbitrary. But that doesn't matter. We still want to win this.
We still want to win this motherfucker. So, yeah, we're going to have somebody in the final four. Go vote for that motherfucker.
But yeah, join us over there, and then give us a rating review or something to support the show. Share it with somebody that hasn't listened, or rate it over at Apple or whatever podcast player allows you to give some ratings.
If you're listening to this, you know you didn't do it yet. Just go do it.
Yeah. We know you haven't done it yet. All right. That all said, let's get out of here. We'll talk to you again next week, nerds.
See ya.